Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everybody. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Do straight up.
That's the show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Got a lot to talk about today. Well, Sandra is typing something. Sandra, I'll address this in a second. Darcy Schoening is going to come on. There was a lame hit piece that came on the Denver Post today, quoting the Southern Poverty Law Center. And so Darcy Schoening is going to come on and set the record straight. It's like everybody knows the Southern Poverty Law Center is just a bunch of jokes. All kinds of weird court stuff going on, although good court stuff as far as the Trump cases are concerned. But why don't I start off with Trent Lisey? Trent, we first talked to you. Well, first, so hello and welcome to the show. Can you unmute yourself? There we go.
How are you doing? Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, good to see you back again.
Good to see you.
We first talked to you a while ago when you initially were considering running for CD4. And then since you and 800 other people were also running for CD4, I think you and many others said, okay, you dropped out. But now you have entered the race for House District 65. You have the endorsement, the official endorsement of the Colorado Republican Party. And that is, I think, is that Mike Lynch's seat?
Yeah, currently Mike Lynch obviously is vacating this seat as he's running for CD4. But I do want to thank the Colorado GOP for having faith in me and endorsing me for this race.
Now, you've done other stuff too. Let me go ahead and we'll ask you the typical, and then Chuck has some questions he wants to ask too. But the typical, what made you, I mean, you had so much fun, when Laura Loomer wrongly attacked you in the CD4 thing. So you thought, I'll go ahead and enter another race. I mean, what made you want to get into this race?
Yeah, so I made the switch right before caucus. So it was just days before March 7th when I made the switch to this. For me, what it came down to was, look, Lauren Boebert's going to win this race, hands down. We all know that. For me, Trump endorsed her, and rightfully so. I respect his endorsement. And so for me, my loyalties to Trump. And so, running against a Trump-endorsed candidate is me running against Trump. And so, I looked at the race. It made sense. I looked at House District 65, and I looked who was running in this race against me. And it's like, here we go, another rhino in this place being handpicked by Mike Lynch to go to the state house and continue the disastrous path that Colorado's on. And so I just felt like I believe I can do something here in Colorado to help bring us, hopefully out of this pit that we're in, working with the other true good conservative and America First people down at the state capitol.
Well, good. I think
there are not too many of them.
Yeah,
there's like three or four of them.
So. Right. You can get a trouble getting a breakfast booth, down there. Well, you're right, because I mean, Mike Lynch, I think, had failing grades with the Colorado Liberty scorecard.
Totally failing.
Anybody that he picks to replace him would be the same thing. And we don't need any more Republicans who go down there to vote with the Democrats.
Co-sponsor their bills
so they can say it's bipartisan. And I know you haven't been to the legislature before, but I think you've shown yourself to clearly be an America First candidate. And I think you would be a great addition down at the state house.
Yes, it was.
Well, thank you. We're in a time where it's not left versus right. It's good versus evil. And, the Republican Party has negotiated the middle away. So there is no middle. And so it's now been hijacked by the satanic left, who the Republicans just bow down to and make a deal just to make a deal. And my opponent in this race has made it clear that all she wants to do is go down there and compromise. And we need people that are going to go down there and say, enough's enough. We're not going to, either you come to our side, let's negotiate where it makes sense, where it's not going to hurt people, and work together. But other than that, it's like, I'm just tired of this path that we're on. And we have too many rhinos down there, establishment people who, I don't even know why they're there. I mean, the job doesn't pay very much. So I don't know if it's just they just want power and their name recognition. But
and I can tell you, you don't have too much power.
Have horrible, horrible liberty scores. They're horrible.
Right. But I mean, yeah, out of all of them, I think there were like nine, which is an increase, right? There were 13 this year who had passing grades. Yeah, which was an increase from previous years. And you're right. It's and when we see what the Republic or what the Democrats are doing to this state, you know, there and there's 8 million. I mean, people always think, oh, we can do ballot initiatives and that, you know, that's an answer. The trouble is the main people who do ballot initiatives successfully are either other rhinos and establishment people who are passing rhino establishment things, or they're the rich Democrats, or they're billionaires like Kent Theory. You know, the grassroots, I know we're working with grassroots people trying to get some of the initiatives out there to stop ranked choice voting. But I mean, that's it's a nearly impossible task. So we need you guys at the legislature. You're the first line, right? And and really, for many of us, it's the only line, really.
Well, and that's what I told people. I mean, what happens at a local and state level affect your lives quicker than what happens at the federal level. And so, you know, look, I love this state. I was born and raised in the state. I grew up here. You know, I want to die here one day, 100 years from now. And, you know, and it's like the state I grew up in is gone. We're losing it. And it's our Republicans that are giving this state away.
Well, they have given it away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, your treatment by the Trump organization. I know you love Donald. You probably don't love the organization. You announced you're running. You're running as a MAGA Trump supporter. You went down to Florida. You stepped on some toes, apparently. It's part of the campaign staff and thought you were too presumptuous or something. And they sent Laura Loomer to try to destroy you. I mean, that's a little bit much, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I think Laura Loomer's going to destroy herself one day with her antics that she's doing, because, you know, she clearly is not helping the movement in terms of, I think that she attacks too many people close to Trump. She does some good job. She does some good work. But, you know, there's sometimes it's like even with me, I mean, you know, even talking with Joel Oltman, he's just like, he's had conversations with her and said, why did you attack him? And she's like, can't even give him an answer. And so, you know, I don't know. It's done. It's over with. You know, I love Trump and I support his decisions on what he does, even though I think some of them are like, you know, but, you know, I mean, he's human and I think he's all about winning and, you know, he wants to win as much as he can. So,
well, but he's the person who hired Cohen, the person who hired Omarosa. He's a person who hired Bolton. He hires very poorly. I've got to watch, you know, because we're heading for the convention as delegates, though delegates in a weird way. But, you know, they say you can't go on social media, and you kind of go, we have a radio podcast, guys. We're going on social media. I don't care what.
Well, okay, you finish yours, and I'm going to say, because I'm not, for the record, I'm not on board with Chuck on this. I think.
Well, I'm a rebel without a cause, but I don't particularly like trying to be pushed around by little people. You know, just kind of like, fuck you.
Oh.
Well, you know.
Right, I disagree with Chuck. I disagree with Chuck. The views of one host do not necessarily reflect the views of the other host.
But that's the better side of it.
Oh, right?
Over than that, I mean, he just endorsed Gabe Evans, who's just.
Yeah, we are. I do kind of not agree Janet with that.
Well, and I think some of that, look, the people that I know that are truly close to Trump, that absolutely love him and would give him the best advice in the world, for some reason, Trump doesn't always listen to them. And he always makes his own decisions. I've even told him, you know, a year or so ago, I said, when you get reelected, please just do one job. And I said, that's fire everybody. Fire everybody you can. And he's like, they're effing gone. They're gone. They're gone. I said, good. They need to go because these people hurt you. And I think he knows now, you know, that he's got to get a little bit better input from those who are really close to him, because there's so many good people that get frustrated that are like, if he would just listen to us, you know, we would make sure he leads, you know, he's led down the right path. And I, you know, sometimes he just doesn't listen to people and does his own thing. And, you know, yeah, we're rightfully in the mess we are in today because of some of those decisions. But,
well, the trouble is, who's he going to put in to replace him? I mean, he's terrible at being able to choose.
He uses Melania and Barron. Maybe Barron seems
to be. Well, that wouldn't be bad. The last time it was the Kirshners, and they were god awful. So
yeah, it is.
It's I love the guy, but man, does he ever choose the wrong people?
On occasion, yeah.
I've known practicing law some real narcissists. Very successful in part because they're so narcissistic.
And I think some of these endorsements, I don't really think he knows these people. I mean,
he'll lose his endorsement meaning anything. I mean, that's what happens if he's therapeutic.
You know, right? I mean, look, if he really knew Gabe Evans, knew that he wasn't an election denier, he felt like the election was fair, you know, he's being backed by, you know, the Koch brothers, I believe,
right.
You know, through their PAC and, right. You know, I don't think he would endorse him, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he, I personally don't think, knowing what I know in that circle, that he knows a lot of these people. He's just being told, hey, endorse this person, endorse this person, endorse this person.
That's my sense, we had
Tom Tancredo on last show, and we asked him, why'd you endorse, what's his name down there?
Stephen Varela. He said, I had a really
good friend who told me Steve Varela was great. He said, I'm not listening to him ever again, but I mean.
So then he unendorsed him, which makes it awkward.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. And that's an issue. And I think, Trent, you have, again, some particular insights into that. But in terms of then your race for HG 65, is it going to be the usual thing? Because we want to get you some help if we can, where the Rhino candidate has money, backing, support, et cetera?
Yeah. I mean, the establishment force here in 65. Now, HD 65 is Timnath, Windsor, Severance, Party Eaton, a little bit of Johnstown, a little bit of Fort Collins on the eastern side, but predominantly that's, you know, Windsor's the biggest area. I can tell you hands down, the establishment is out in force to help to get my opponent elected. They were doing it. I mean, what's funny is these Republicans are mad at the GOP for breaking bylaws, but yet, you know, the chair of the HD 65 assembly right before the assembly was recruiting delegates for my opponent, you know, and then lied and said, oh, no, I didn't do it, even though I confronted him with the text messages that that he sent out. So yeah, I mean, they're out in full force. They're absolutely out in full force.
And so who do you have on your side?
You got us.
Well, I got you guys, you know, and I feel like I'm gonna have the people. I mean, I've had a lot of good response from people just being out there talking, walking the door, you know, walking the neighborhoods, knocking doors, doing those kind of things. And you know, I and it's funny because, you know, whoever owns these electronic billboards on the side of the road, you know, they'll put my opponent on, but they won't put me on. They said I'm too controversial to even be on the electronic billboards. And I'm like, then I guess I'm winning if I'm too controversial. Because, you know, look, we are not winning in Colorado. We're not winning.
Well, the reason we're not winning is because the establishment, who's really more Democrat than they are Republican.
They are.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and in Weld County, it's interesting, and this may help you, because I know we've talked about with Lori Sane, who's a true grassroots warrior up there, and she's battling. Same thing, you know, anytime somebody in the grassroots gets into power, the Weld Mafia steps in and they try to do everything they can. Mm-hmm. But I think it hurt when the commissioners, first of all, they tried to ban all public hearings, you know, I mean, and people saw what the establishment was willing to do. They're like, no, we like being a sanctuary county. We're not going to fight that. And they were forced to take that back. So I'm hoping that maybe there is some growing grassroots pressure kind of building up in Weld County, just in general, right? As some of the stuff, you know, I mean, and I think in general, people are awake more and people are saying, you know, wait a minute, you know, we don't want to be a sanctuary county, right? We don't want to just, you know, go along to get along because we see what's happening in Colorado.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really bad. And maybe this will be helpful for people like you. I think later this summer, some kind of crazed, I don't think it's Polis's fault, but EPA stuff goes into effect. And I think they're saying Colorado gas prices here in the next few weeks are going to go up anywhere from 50 cents to a dollar a gallon and stay there, you know? And I think, so hopefully people are looking around and saying, we cannot have the status quo because it is, it's killing us.
Yeah. I mean, we can. And I feel like, look, I talk to people, I've talked to so many people outside of Weld County that say, oh, Weld County is a great county. It's conservative. It's this and that. You got Republicans in office. And I'm like, no, that's hold on. That's not the case. I'm like, you know, they're all rhinos except for Lori Sane, you know,
right.
and she's the only one that, you know, will stand up. And they obviously look at her. They're trying to destroy her for standing on conservative values. And, you know, they're doing the same thing with me because I wouldn't, you know, I led the charge to return almost $80 million back to the taxpayers in Weld County because our Republican commissioners, who are supposed to be about limited government, wanted this money for pork projects.
Right.
And so fortunately, they didn't get their money. Thank goodness. And that money went back to the people. But, you know, it's like, you know, I hope that we're reaching a point where good grassroots conservative people who love this country are going to stand up and say enough is enough. You know, we're not winning. We're not, you know, advancing. Our lives are getting worse by the day, by every single session that ends. I mean, look at how many egregious gun bills went through and with these EPA regulations. Now we're going to have to be driving electric vehicles soon. And it's just on and on and on. And I think we'll be worse than California at some point. So.
Well, listen, let me add just a sort of a final question for you. I mean, you know, what do you want? A two-part question. What do you want people to know about you? And then where can people go to find out more? And more importantly, where can people go?
Yeah, but the ballots are going to hit.
They should be getting their ballots any day now. So where can people find out more? Where can they help? Where they can contribute?
Yeah. So look, I just want people to know that, look, I'm an America First conservative fighter and I care about what happens here in Colorado. I care about everybody. You know, I want everybody to have a good way of life here. And I want to be able to go down there and be a fighter, an effective fighter, someone who does get stuff done, but who also will stand up and say, I'm not compromising with this garbage that's going on.
Don't get anything done.
Well, I mean, hey, if nothing gets done, nothing gets done. But at least if I'm fighting, I'm fighting. That is who I am.
If people want to get things done, they co-sign for Democrats.
I will never negotiate. I'll never negotiate constitutional values down the drain, conservative principles down the drain. You know, I'm going to stand up against these folks.
Good. You'll get nothing done. Perfect.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love support. You know, you can visit my website, TrentLicey.com. There where you can sign up to help with the campaign, donate. Obviously, every dime helps. Yeah. Obviously, ballots should be dropping in people's mailboxes any day. You know, I encourage people vote. Fill out your ballot, take it to the county and drop it off. Don't put it into the mail. So.
Okay, doke. All right. Well, Trent, listen, thank you. Feel free. Hop back on anytime. Best
thank
of luck.
Thank you so much.
As we
I
go
love
through.
You
guys. Thank, you. Thank you. Thank you for entering the race again. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
There we go. Trent Licey. Trent Licey for Colorado. You know, it is important that we send non-rhinos to the legislature. You know, there's so much more that we can talk about that. But we had a bunch of comments here, so we thought we'd go with all of these. And this one, I'm not sure. So Sandra is saying, John Rush said that we started Rhino Watch. He's totally against Ron Hanks and Dave Williams. Would be a great show if you interviewed him or went on his show, just saying, by the way, I do not agree with John Rush nor Hanks or Dave. But first, sort of set the record straight. We did not start Rhino Watch. I'll let you give the official explanation.
Well, we are part of the group that contributes to it. We're part of the collective, and we're happy to be part of the collective. But if you want to see who's part of Rhino Watch, just go to Rhino Watch. Most people writing their own names. A few don't, a few want to be anonymous, but most people write in their own names. And we've got tons of people. We do not fund it. We do not any of that. We're happy to be part of the collective. But they're always looking for somebody, the mastermind.
Yeah, I don't know this. I apologize for my ignorance here. Who's John Rush?
He's on a radio station, either 560 or.
Okay.
Rush to Reason.
Well, we should sue him then because he's libeling us.
Rush to Reason.
Okay. Now then this from Sandra. Okay. Yeah. So it's HD 65 is in Weld County, kind of Timnath, Windsor, Severance, that kind of thing.
And the problem is, and this is the problem for all Republicans, and we're speaking tonight of Parker conservatives, you cannot know offhand who's a rhino. I mean, I've heard the Weld County commissioners, and you would have thought they are the most solid conservatives ever, and they're not at all. They're just total rhinos, but they have the speech down. Right. Like Gabe Evans has the speech down. So you just have to find out who's backing them. If they're backing by the and even then you can't tell because Trump does some moronic thing like backing Gabe Evans.
Right.
God, I mean, you know.
We'll get to that in a second, Gooby, because I want to just finish reading some of these other comments. The district that Trent is running in encompasses parts of Larimer and Weld, not sure if more. His opponent has worked hard as, quote, a school teacher. Yeah. I took a campaign class with her, as in my style, I observe before engaging my mouth. And then Dr. Dunn, who endorsed Gabe? Oh, yes, Trump did. Where has he been? Oh, yes, in New York. Gabe is dangerous. Mm-hmm. And then Sandra says, Norm Brownstein's one of them. I agree with Trent. Holy cow, we got a ton of comments. From Sandra, he seems like a great guy. Oh, you like Rhino Watch, by the way. Thank you. Dr. Donna, who is running for HD 53, says vote for her and she'll set you free. She does not give up easily also. And then Sandra says, same thing in El Paso County, some in Pueblo County. And then Dr. Donna says, one of the reasons I haven't sought endorsements. Yeah, so we can talk a little bit about the Gabe Evans. I think everybody is not, well, Gabe Evans isn't disappointed, but one of the main talking points that you can point out about Gabe Evans is that, you know, the Americans for Prosperity is anti-Trump. And then Trump turns around and endorses him. And I'm sure at some point, I mean, and I have read that Trump and the Americans for Prosperity people have agreed to be, at least through the election, frenemies, I guess, is sort of a way to put it.
I could not find that article.
I saw it someplace. Where
I asked you where, and you said you didn't know where.
I know, but I
don't believe her.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's sort of backed by the fact that Trump is, he knows Gabe Evans has Americans for Prosperity.
He probably doesn't.
I think Trent is right.
I think what he probably knows is that the CD8 in Colorado is probably one of the prime pickup points in everywhere, because Caravello only won by less than 1%.
And I think that's a key thing. I think that, you know, there's always, this is multidimensional chess, right? There is that level. I think the one good news we could take from it is obviously somebody in the Trump campaign, so somebody in the RNC, somebody somewhere has polling that shows that CD8 is in play, right? And so that's why, and I think, and I guess I have to, you know, I can't really disagree with this. I think they being whoever that handles the endorsements is, assess that Gabe Evans had a better chance of raising money and winning than Janet Joshi, which is probably true. And so that's why they did it.
I got all that, but are Trump endorsements just rhinos in the waiting? I mean, you know, it's really discouraging. It's discouraging all the people who've
worked hard for Janet Joshi.
Janet Joshi and so forth, and find out that Trump has sold them down the drain. Now, as I understand how the organization works, it's a little bit like the court of Louis XIV in Versailles. You know, if you're around Trump, if you got his ear, then you can get a lot of things done. If you don't, you know, you get the Trent Lisey treatment. So somebody got to somebody there saying, this is important.
Somebody got to somebody and said, we can win CDA. He's got money. He's got backing. And so.
But man, if you're going to endorse people like Sarah Palin did that. At first, everybody really followed Sarah Palin's endorsements. And then she endorsed people like Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley only got elected because she got Sarah Palin to call her, you know, a mama grizzly. And she's anything but. She's a rhino Raccoon.
Right. So anyways, so that's that. A couple of things we're going to have coming up here in a minute. Darcy Schoening coming on to talk about Moms for Liberty and the fact that Southern Poverty Law Center, you guys will be horrified to know that there are bazillions of more hate groups in Colorado. Of course, when you look at them, they're either one not a hate group at all, or they don't even exist. Southern Poverty Law Center is such a fraud. But anyway, Darcy's going to come on and talk about that. But wanted to, Tom Tancredo may have been onto something. We had Tom Tancredo on the other day, and we were talking about, does anybody think Trump is going to go to prison, right? And Tom said he doesn't think so. He said, I think what the judge is going to do is put him on probation, right, and then he can keep hauling him in constantly, right, yes, saying he sure violated the probation.
Right.
Well, this gives a little bit of fuel to that thought. So today, what's the guy's name? Colangelo, who was a third in command at the DOJ, who conveniently dropped out there.
Decided to downstream his law career.
Right, and go work in the New York for Alvin Bragg, right? Filed a motion. They want the gag order continued on Trump.
Well, of course.
Even though the trial is over and the verdict has been rendered.
Yes.
I mean, that you can't, that's unheard of, right? I mean, that's a clear First Amendment, because he said Trump continues to say dangerous things that undermine the process. Like any defendant doesn't say dangerous things.
Right.
Any, I haven't ever.
I'm innocent. Dangerous.
Exactly. A defendant that said, well, you know, I really did deserve that. I'm glad it worked out this way. Right. Nobody says that. And so it's ridiculous. But I bet you this Judge Majan will grant it. Right. I mean, the law doesn't mean anything anyway. And so then what they'll do is he'll grant it. Trump will have to put, I mean, I could see this folding out that way. Right. So the judge continues the gag order. Every time Trump talks, he's now in probation. He's now violating his probation. So he's got to show up at the probation office. There's got to be a hearing, and they can continue to hold the threat of jail over him every time he opens his mouth.
Yeah.
I bet that's their strategy. What do you
I
think?
I agree. You're the assessment totally.
Have you ever heard of, you're the lawyer, I mean, is there any grounds for continuing? The reason you have a gag order is so that the jury doesn't become prejudiced. Right.
Well, it's supposed to be, of course, nothing.
Well, theoretically, right.
It's supposed to help the defendant, not the prosecution.
Right. The idea
is the defendant to have a fair trial. And instead, it's been perverted. So now gag orders are against the defendant. So he can't get a fair trial.
But the whole point, though, is you have a gag order. The theory of the whole gag order process is so people aren't talking out of school, so to speak, and resulting.
Well, they're not trying the case.
In the public court of public opinion.
But that's really the prosecutors. It's seldom the defense.
But the point is it's used during the trial to prevent impacting. So I don't think there's ever been.
Well, sure, someplace. Why not?
A case where they just continued the gag order.
For the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life. Because how can there be? I mean, that's just ridiculous, right?
Well, nothing's ridiculous.
No, not in New York.
Courts.
No,
yeah.
I bet that's exactly what they're going to do there.
Right.
I think that's what they're going to do. And then Tom is right. They're not going to send him to prison. They're going to hang that over his head constantly.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Another thing, though, this was a good win for Trump. The Georgia Court of Appeals has halted today all of the proceedings in the Georgia Fannie Willis case against Trump until it decides whether to disqualify Fannie Willis. Trump's lawyers filed a motion to disqualify her. They put everything on hold until they decide that, which means that'll be
good news for Eastman.
Yeah.
And all the other defendants.
That's right. On top of that, then, some other kind of interesting news. So Judge Cannon, the Florida judge, also has expanded the hearing, and basically Trump's lawyers in that case are arguing that Jack Smith, the special counsel, should never have been appointed special counsel. He was appointed, that position doesn't exist, and he was appointed to it by people who didn't have the power to it. So she's agreed.
He's part of the Department of Justice. You don't appoint a special counsel that is part, you know, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to appoint somebody else outside of the Department of Justice. Well, having said that, what do you think Barr did with Durham? Durham was in the Justice Department. You know, he was in the Massachusetts or some, you know, one. Well, that was an inappropriate one. Of course, there's no one to object. So, but the special counsel is supposed to be free. And special. He's special.
No, right. Well, he is
just
special.
Take any assistant U.S. attorney you like. You know, okay.
Who will do your bidding. Yeah. Well, so that's a thing there. And there is some science.
I don't want the Florida case to go away, because we want to find out What all the contacts?
Oh, she's
are.
continuing to hold those hearings too,
Yeah.
but she's expanded those hearings to continue to include the hearing filed, the motion filed by Trump's attorneys to just get rid of Jack Smith altogether. So, of course, if you get rid of the special counsel and the special counsel's investigation, then it all goes away as well. But I think in the meantime, I think she's releasing things. I think Judge Cannon is, I imagine, somewhat appalled at how all of this was handled. And I think she seems to be doing her best to shine the light on
well,
the
corruption
there. I'm
not sure
there.
If you listened to some of the testimony of Merrick Garland yesterday.
Yeah.
But I think it was Getz who asked him, you know, send us the correspondence. These are independent offices. We do not control. He said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you to send the correspondence.
The communication, not the
communication.
Control.
These are independent entities. I will, so if you want to go to the DOJ and ask for the appropriate committee, they will consider your request. And so he's clearly, they are coordinating. I mean, there's no question about it.
Right. Right. Well, they have meetings, and it's like, what is Wade Nathan, Fannie Willis's boyfriend slash, you know, law partner there? What's he going to the Biden White House like 11 times?
Well, it's just for vacation advice.
For vacation advice, that's right.
Place where to go with Fannie? You know, down the Caribbean.
Because he likes vodka, he likes wine. Is there something
yeah,
they can
somewhere in the Caribbean they can, you know, meet? And
that's
know.
Exactly right. So stuff is coming out, and I know, and I've been one of them attacking the Republicans in Congress for not doing more to, like, you know, they all come out like Doug Lamborn, what a fake, right, comes out and says, oh, I stand with Trump after the verdict. It's like, why did you vote to give more money to the FBI, right?
You've had a whole career of being bold, Doug Lamborn.
All these people who, you know, now they're saying this. So why aren't you defunding? Why aren't you defunding some of these things?
And
they
can't do that.
About it, right?
What do you mean they're talking about that? They had the perfect opportunity to say, we will not pass this massive continuing resolution unless you defund these people.
Right.
Instead, which I understand from Politico and other publications, Democratic people who they needed, you know, a lot of Democrats would have their own special items and Johnson would put them in the bill to get the vote. I mean, it's just, where did Mike Johnson come from? I mean,
well, I don't know. But at least, so I will say this, it was kind of interesting to watch Merrick Garland look distinctly unhappy to be there. He looked a little bit, not disgruntled, but flustered a little bit. I think that he was being viciously attacked. But again, Republicans, we need to do more lawfare suits against them.
And
viciously attacking them, strongly wording statements.
Well, you brought it up the other day when they had the head of the subcommittee that Fauci on, and he thanked them for saving millions of lives. And they had that on with Dr. McCullough. He said, did he save a single life? I said, no. He killed a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. So
what are you doing, Republicans? I mean, you just, honestly, I mean, let's look, what's it? Which is Trent Lisey running for?
HD65.
If you actually had people and you could sit them down and say, this is really who the Lynch replacement is for thing. This is the real, you have a chance, but you don't. Instead, they can put out all this bullshit stuff that they're hard conservatives, you know, they're great, they're everything else. And
no,
quite frankly, the average Republican is dumb.
No.
They are dumb. We're dumb.
Oh.
We're dumb. On average, we're dumb. I mean, I've appeared for more Republican groups, and I can tell you, on average, we're dumb. It's a dumb group of people. They're decent. They're honorable. They're nice, by and large, and they're caring people, but they are not very bright.
Yeah.
I mean, we are called the party of stupid because most of the members are stupid. And they're called the party of evil because most of their members are evil.
Okay. All right.
What? What do you mean? Okay.
I'm a Republican. Real quick, from Leo, I'm thinking Mike Johnson is a Harry Potter spinoff with the glasses and the non-reality. Hey, want to switch gears and bring on Darcy Schoening. Darcy,
part of the hate group, Moms for Liberty.
Yeah, part of the hate group, Moms for Liberty.
You can see she's wearing a SS uniform right now.
Right now, yes. Hey, Darcy, welcome to the show again. I appreciate your time today.
Hi, Chuck and Julie. Thanks for having me.
So this morning I get up and I should just not read the Denver Post before I finish my coffee. I was reading the Denver Post.
Spitting it out.
And I see Noelle Phillips, who I think is like in, well, whatever. She's been a reporter a long time. And she's spewing this story for the Southern Poverty Law Center has identified an increasing number of hate groups in Colorado. Like,
they're popping up all over the place.
All over the place. And then she listed them.
Torchlight,
right?
You know, parades. When's the Torchlight parade?
Yeah, and one of the key ones she highlighted was Moms for Liberty.
That sounds fascistic. Sounds fascistic.
Yeah, it's like, and so first, before we get your comments on that, I just want to like remind people, and Noel Phillips knows better. When I was in TV
Noel
and I
Phillips
left,
knows
well,
better. You're not working. You're not working for the Denver Post. And
I know.
Know better.
That's true. 7 years ago, when I left the TV station, even then, reporters knew that the Southern Poverty Law Center was a discredited far left fundraising scam with money in offshore accounts. You know, millions and millions of dollars in offshore accounts.
Which was being siphoned off by Morris Dees, who's the one who started.
Kicked out for being sexist and racist himself.
And stealing the money.
And stealing the money, right?
And so, now, so we have new people who are sexist and stealing money.
Right.
I don't know what article. Somebody wrote, some kid who joined as a lawyer thought he'd be going into court defending poor black people and stuff. And
oh, yeah.
It's a poverty law center, right? You know, they'd be fighting the
poor people there. No.
No, there's no court. They do no law.
No.
They haven't. They ran one case, I think, against a defunct Ku Klux Klan group and got a default judgment.
A million years ago.
Yeah, a million years ago. They haven't been back in court. And none of the people who work for the Southern Poverty Law Center do any law. It's not a law center. It's a fundraising center.
But what they do, though, is they have this very cool little map that you can go to find the hate groups in your state. And you click on the hate groups. And
there you go.
And there you go. And Darcy, you're like they hate you a lot at the Southern Poverty Law Center. And wisely, you guys did not return their stupid phone call because all they were going to do is slam you. So once again, you've made the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate group, hate list, the growing one. I mean, what your reaction to all of this?
First of all, my white hood is not showing in the background, right?
Well, right. No.
It's just a halo of it.
Okay, good. No, yeah. Because that's what we extremist moms do, obviously. We go out and burn things and cause violence, and that's their justification for designating us a hate group. You know, so right, it was about 2 weeks after I went on CNN and I said that teachers, Joe Biden, teachers unions, we're taking a lot of donations in from major unions and big fundraising entities, and that there's a clear agenda to turn kids gay, to turn kids trans, to drive a wedge between a parent and a child. It was maybe 7 or 8 days after that interview where they put me on the Southern Poverty Law Center website and labeled me as an extremist. You know, in my mind, that means that we're doing something right.
I agree.
I'm not out burning things. I'm not out fighting people on the streets. I'm not posting.
Oh, get out there. Come on. Yeah. We need to do that.
Don't tell anybody. That's leading. Okay.
Well, and the thing is they're just a joke and they do it to fundraise and reporters then use it knowing that it's a fraud. I mean, it's lost all credibility years ago. Here I wrote down, here's some of the other groups, other things that are the hate group. Dennis Prager, okay, Ben Carson.
Oh, God, what a Nazi. Those are two major Nazis. Ben Carson, I mean, come on. He's always burning those crosses in his own backyard.
That's right.
To scare his family.
That's right. He's a black racist. He's a white black, I don't know. But the Heritage Foundation.
Hate
group. And the Alliance Defending Freedom.
Oh, there are they ever a hate group. Holy shit.
It's even more, I think, a few, you know, again, years ago, I think they just kind of made it up. But there does seem to be some coordination now with the White House. Because, I mean, this whole Moms Against Liberty, you guys kind of reformed kind of during the COVID, once parents became aware, right? And we do know that the Southern Poverty Law Center had people went and met with Biden when the Biden Department of Justice was saying, hey, we got to target these parents, right?
Right. That's exactly what happened. And actually, Moms for Liberty National is in a contentious lawsuit with the Southern Poverty Law Center because they brought that up. They said, this is a clear coordinated attack on our organization. So they're suing for slander and all kinds of things. But that said, I mean, just as much money as Southern Poverty Law Center raises when they designate someone a hate group, that hate group goes and raises twice the amount of money, just like you just
They
told
don't
me
care as long as
about.
they get their share. I can tell you,
That's
they
it.
don't care.
Well,
Just
and
like.
I know.
it's ridiculous when you look at it. And so I went through some of the groups, and again, and this was 2 years ago. Most of the groups don't even exist. It was like sometime, like 15 years ago, somebody in Walsenburg like posted something on Facebook, and all of a sudden, Southern Poverty Law Center calls this like a hate group, and the person has long since died or moved to California or something like that. I mean, they don't even exist. They're not even
But
many
I
of them.
remember when I was in Glendale, down at the police department, the Southern Poverty Law Center sent out this great, very glossy looking thing alerting the ones to the hate group. And
Yeah.
it looked so official, and the
I
police
know.
department displayed it to show that they were not tolerating hate groups. I mean, honestly,
But then I'm sure they couldn't find them, right?
well, they couldn't locate them, but it didn't matter. They kept it on the table to show they were diverse and they cared.
Yeah. In that level, the coordination, like Julie was just talking about, where SPLC went and met with Biden, now combined with like the mailers and the outreach that SPLC does. What I found when I was doing my work for Moms for Liberty across the state and, just meeting with various people, what it does, the big chunk that what they're doing with that designation is they basically, it's throwing a big crumb to the media and to the leftists, right? Because now,
Right.
anytime, as you've seen, anytime someone writes an article about me, even if I'm not acting in any Moms for Liberty capacity, they'll throw in there, like Kyle Clark, they'll throw in there and say, her group was designated as a hate group last year.
Even
And
though, and it drives me so crazy, even though the reporters know that it's, I mean, it,
they
and
don't
again, I
care.
should quit
You're
letting that worry me. I know.
living back
I
30
know.
years
Well,
ago.
and here, and so just to clarify for folks too, so when you go in and you look at, like, so you can click on, I forget what, there was some group, and I might have never even heard of this group, but because it doesn't exist, and it was in Walsenburg, like Walsenburg, Colorado is a hotbed of, there were like four or five hate groups in
Yeah,
Walsenburg. I'm
one
like,
person.
there's only like six people in Walsenburg, but anyway, sorry, Walsenburg, I didn't mean that badly. But you click on the definition, okay, why is this a hate group? And it'll say anti-government. Well, under there, it says stuff like, well, spreads conspiracy theories. Oh, like the Hunter Biden laptop is real, right? Like the Russia hoax. It's like every conspiracy theory that we have been accused of spreading has turned out to be true, right? And so
Well,
who's.
can you imagine if they did the founding fathers? John Adams,
I
anti-government.
know. I
Yeah.
know.
John
I know.
Adams, anti-government.
Colorado
Name it.
GOP is probably 2 seconds away from being designated a hate group. Let's be honest here.
Right, exactly. Well, and here's some of the comments. Under Darcy, you should be proud that Southern Poverty Law Center hates you. Back in the 70s, people were mad that they didn't make Nixon's enemies list. And the doctor, Donna says, Clark is such a sweetie, not. And then from Charlene, yes, to James, we're naive in that we can't believe that they are that bad because we don't have those traits in us to see them in other people. And then Sandra says, Walsenburg has a great state park. That's where they hold their hate group meetings, is in the state park. Well, how, let me ask you this. Does it, do you think, because I think the media loses credibility every time it publishes
It
something
doesn't have any
anymore.
credibility.
Right. Well, so have you found that that has, except for having to deal with Noelle Phillips calling you every time, I mean, are people seeing through it at least now, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's no different than any of the messaging that I put out or the state party puts out or whoever. What we're really talking about here is, like I said, it's a giant crumb for them to throw to the left and the leftist media. But as far as conservatives go, and by and large, most independents, I'll be at my kids' school. They go to school in Monument where we live, and there's just parents that come up all day long, and they're like, "Thanks for all you're doing, you extremist." And my neighbors aren't political, and there's been a lot more media lately around me than there usually has been. And they say the same thing. Like, I'll be walking my dog by, and they're like, "Thanks for the fight, you crazy extremist bigot." And so people think it's a joke. I'm not encountering anybody that's like taking it seriously and saying, "Darcy, like, what are you going to do now? How are you going to message differently? What do you need to change?" Nothing. We need to keep going at them harder because they obviously the left is in like a really chaotic situation right now. We all saw from COVID what they're doing in the schools. That's why they designated Moms for Liberty and so many other groups a hate group. If you're anti-government, you're a hate group. I mean, what?
This is
So,
America.
yeah. So
We
we
had a
know that
revolution, I
we're
think. which is the definition of
Well,
hating your present
right, yeah,
government, the
government.
British Empire.
Why is it, do you think, that they're so afraid of Moms for Liberty?
Well, Moms for Liberty, it was born out of COVID when, you know, all of us were stuck at home with our kids, and we really, by and large, at that time, so many parents were still trusting that they would send their kids to school, their kids would get a quality education, and they would come home, and every day they would move closer and closer to being productive adults. That was the original goal of public education. But COVID showed us that, uh-oh, we've been asleep. Like, these teachers' unions have been deep in these schools for decades and decades. And the product that's emerging, these kids that are emerging, we're going to have more and more Tim Hernandezes and Elizabeth Epps. Like I keep saying, they're raising more and more communists. But we saw, and we're fighting back. And they see that we're winning because the independents and the moderate Democrats even are starting to say, wait, the stuff going on in our schools, this is going a little too far. You're going to transition kids behind my back in schools? Like, this is too much. And they see that as a threat because their whole route to more government, bigger government, less individual rights, especially parental rights, it hinges on those schools.
Right. Well, exactly. And I think you hit an important point there. And that is moms. It's not Republican moms. It's not Democrat moms. It's moms. And I think that is something that crosses any kind of partisanship, right? It's like when you're a parent, when you're a parent and your daughter has worked hard all through high school to try to get a college scholarship in track and field. And then a boy, an 18-year-old, a man really, decides he's a girl and beats her in a race and she loses out.
He deserves it.
Yeah,
it's only fair.
I think that it doesn't matter what your political affiliation
is at
that
point. No, it changes your political.
Right, course. Exactly. That's the kind of thing that parents look at and they're like, wait a minute, being.
But why are they so much against Moms for Liberty? And I can tell you why they're against Moms for Liberty, because that makes them money. If they're against a guy in Walsenbury, that going to raise them any money? it may make Moms for Liberty twice the amount of money, but they figure we'll get in our share, and that's all Southern Poverty Law Center's run on. What is the rate of return on attacking, the Walsenburg guy? No good. Moms for Liberty, yes. Yes.
And the left just loves it, and they give them more and more money.
Right.
But I have to say, if you guys haven't attended a Moms for Liberty meeting, it's really interesting. So when I started, organizing the meetings in El Paso County, I'm political, just like you guys. So I was expecting a big turnout of GOP activists and the same moms I always see. I didn't know probably 60, 70% of the moms that were joining and showing up to the meetings. Most of them were not politically affiliated. Most of them still aren't. And that's what scares people so much about Moms for Liberty, because
absolutely.
There are so many parents that are like,
absolutely.
Oh, what's going on is so wrong. I've got to get involved now. And then guess what? Once they get involved, like Chuck just said, they do get more political. They start to see everything that's going on around them. They hear their state reps come talk, their county commissioners come talk, people that they've by and large never been involved with before. So Moms for Liberty and groups like that, Moms for America is the same way. They're getting average moms and dads to come out and say what's happening to our kids is wrong. And I'm ready to just totally get behind not only this cause, but a lot of times all kinds of causes across the state.
And then you look at Southern Poverty Law Center, and then it completely discredits itself. Like you said, it's a big crumb for the media, so they'll still probably always jump on it. But all of your moms, all of these like moms who are not political are like suddenly like, honey, I'm part of a hate group. You know what I mean? And they're like, that's a joke. And they see that and they lose more and more credibility. I mean, I'm sure I would wager that probably a significant percentage, even of people who read the Denver Post, understand that the Southern Poverty Law Center and Moms for Liberty, it's not a hate. I mean, the Southern Poverty Law Center is a hate.
It is a hate group.
Now, this is how Alliance Defending Freedom describes them. A discredited and scandal-ridden group that one of its own employees described as a highly profitable scam. It's like,
nothing better than an accolade from all your employees.
I'm not, what needs to happen? I mean, you guys are so media savvy, and I think what needs to happen is a similar organization, but a conservative one. We just need to start designating all these super leftist groups and all these teachers' unions as hate groups.
That's a good point. We should just start doing it. We should just say you're a hate group. Well, and that's what I did in my Twitter thing. I called Southern Poverty Law Center a hate group. I
They
did
are.
call them that.
They're
So, well, they
deep
are.
paper.
They're a hate mongering group. And again, I just for amusement, guys, just go to their website and you can click on it and it looks so alarming. And every year since the beginning of history, there's a significant increase,
Thank you.
an alarming increase in hate groups in Colorado. And they, again, you try, then you search the group and it doesn't even exist. Or like you said, what's a little bit, I don't know, concerning isn't the right thing, but I think they've crossed the line when they are coordinating with the White House, with the Democrats and the Biden
Why
White House.
is that crossing the line?
Well, that's worse than just making up the hate groups, right? Now they're in an organized way making up that the group is a hate group. I mean, they're specifically
You
talking, but
don't think
they were just,
you don't think they do these things just on their
well,
own
no, all
down
right,
there in
no, well,
Selma
good
or
point.
something?
But
Like,
here,
hey,
though,
what do we designate? I don't know, Joe. Could you tell us?
all right. But this was very organized, wasn't it?
It was extremely organized. I mean, the founders of Moms for Liberty really believe that that was a long time in the making, but that there were some impetuses there with certain things that people like me and others said in the media, and that it was an orchestrated effort. The
Yes.
problem is it didn't have the effect that they thought it was going to have.
No,
No. No.
absolutely
Well,
not.
because they're still trying to destroy children. So it's like maybe one day, if they stop trying to destroy
Well, if
children
we
and
quit stop
families.
having children, which they're doing a good job of, then they could not have to do it.
That's true. All right.
Hey, listen, Darcy, we got to
Yeah,
wrap up
thanks so
today.
much. Keep up the
See,
good work.
keep up the
it
good work, you radical extremist, you.
sounds like.
I know, watch out for me. I thank you guys so much for always having me on and being so kind and so gracious, and thanks for all you do.
All right,
You
thank you,
bet.
Darcy. Thank you.
Take care.
And everybody too, a bunch of great comments here too. Oh, this is from Leo. Is there a single Moms for Liberty group? I'll bring the Bloody Marys and the Chardonnay. There probably is. There probably is. Hey guys, that's gonna wrap it up for us today. On Friday, we're gonna have Charles Marino. He's got a great new book out, Terrorists on the Border and in Our Country. Taking a look at that. I know he's been making the circuits. You might have seen him in some of the other
If you'd like to suggest a different alcohol one than the disastrous one of a week ago, we're up for suggestions.
about for Party Friday. We could do that
Yes.
too. Tequila. All right. Hey, everybody, that'll do
Take
it.
care, everybody.
See you on Friday.